welcome to the Valley Outdoors, and glad to have you guys with us today. We've got Ava here.
I'm here.
Don is here. And I am here. I'm Eric, and I am the host of the Valley Outdoors, and it's got some cool things coming up. We got Rob Driesline from The Outdoor News. We're going to be talking with him. There is a ton to talk about that's going on all over the Midwest. You're going to want to hang out for this one. Stay tuned.
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Good to see you guys.
Yeah, it's good to see you.
It's always good to be here.
Well, you know, it's true.
It's the best part of the week.
It is.
The weekend and the show.
I know. How does it get any better?
It doesn't.
I don't know.
As far as I know, we've got soft water everywhere, so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I will say this. Every week we have a Red Wing Fishing League get together.
Yep.
Kind of fun. And, of course, anybody can join. If somebody does want to join, I'll provide some information regarding that. I think we have a link on it, very possibly. Can't remember. We'll make sure we do. But anyway, we get together every week. And this last week, it was waters dropping in the river. We're talking about this specifically Red Wing area on the Mississippi
right.
River. And the water's dropping. It's beyond fishable. It's awesome right now.
Yeah.
And pretty crazy. I mean, you can catch fish jigging, live baiting, and crank baiting, and you name it. And it's one of the things that came up, some of the people we were talking to that they're new from the area, they came in from Missouri.
Oh, really?
And we were talking with them, and they're like, okay, well, what do I do? Where do we go? You know, they hired a local guide to give them out, get them around the area. And we're saying, you know, crank baits this early? And I'm like, it's never too early to crank. You can put crankbaits down, put stacker rigs down. You can do whatever, literally, with a crankbait at any time of year, as long as it's not ice. It's kind of tough to troll.
That's why I don't ice fish.
But
it's just too hard to troll.
But you can use a jigging wrap, so it's kind of not the cranking part. But nonetheless, you know, it's been brought up. Lake Erie, my buddies are out in Lake Erie, absolutely crushing the fish. Green Bay, they're crushing the fish. And it's crankbaits. And whether you have the ability to get that crankbait to a certain depth, use your graphs. Notice where those fish are at. Target that depth. If you can't get down there with a regular crankbait and regular line, buy some snap weights. I was talking to a friend of mine about that this morning. Put a 2 or 3 ounce snap weight on if the fish are near the bottom. Let the line out, let it sink, hit the bottom, hold it. We call it a two-touch or three-touch method. You hold it a while, let the line go back out because you're trolling at about, let's say, 1.2, 1.3, 1.4,
right.
whatever
yep.
speed.
Yep.
Let the line back out, let it touch, hold on to it a little, and let it go again. So you let 20 feet of line out, put a snap weight on it, clip it like it's like a clothespin.
Right.
Clip it on the line, let it out. And you're going to be fine. You don't need a line counter. It's line counters quicker because then you can look at, okay, this is how much line I needed to get to that, what I caught that fish on. But nonetheless, regardless of how much equipment you have, you can still have a crankbait that's going to get down to these fish that are deeper. 3 ounce snap weight is the way to go. Have a little bit stiffer rod. It's going to help just simply because 3 ounces is a fair amount of weight when you're pulling it. And you're going to be just fine. If that doesn't work, take a bottom bouncer. You can do the same thing. But really, a snap weight makes it super easy. You get it close, you just undo the snap weight, and you're fighting the fish right off the bat. So, but it's never too early. It really isn't. You go to Lake Erie, they're just bandits are on fire. They are crushing. Same thing holds true. Green Bay, they're running ripping wraps. They're running jigging wraps. And they're trolling.
I learned a lesson. You know, it's never too late to learn something. a friend of mine and I, we went to a store, and sometimes they have the big bins, you know, with the reduced crankbaits. And I go, wow, that's
price reduced.
Yeah, yep, pretty reasonable. You know, $3.99 for crankbaits, pretty good deal. So we picked up a few. And I haven't had a chance to try any of mine yet, but he had been out, and he says it's a new kind of crankbait. He says you run it, and it runs 6 feet to this side, then it turns and runs 6 feet to this side, and it runs 6 feet to this side. I'm going, so what you're telling me is you can't tune it. Be careful what you're buying, because $3.99 gives you the searching crankbait out there. So.
The drunken sailor bait?
Yep. He tried several times to get this thing to track, and it wouldn't do it.
Well, and you need to definitely get so that you can have that bait running straight. And mark them if you've tuned
them. Well, straight in the end, you get the right vibration.
Exactly. Story wanted to jump into briefly. The fisherman we've talked about that had cheated in that tournament out on Erie.
Yep, last year.
The two fishermen, they pled guilty in the Ohio fishing tournament, the cheating scandal, were sentenced to 10 days in jail, will serve beyond probation for a year and a half. These two gentlemen, one is from Pennsylvania, one's from Ohio. They admitted to stuffing fish with lead weights and fish fillets in an attempt to win thousands of dollars in the tournament. They were caught at the Lake Erie Walleye Trail Tournament. Director Jason, we had him on the show, became suspicious when they turned a much heavier bag in than the typical walleye was. He cut open the fish and found weights inside of them. They pleaded guilty to cheating and unlawful ownership of wild animals as part of the plea deal in March. Both men agreed to 3-year suspensions of their fishing licenses. Kaminsky agreed to give up his bass boat, which is actually a multi-species boat worth over $100,000. After the terms of jail are over, then they're going to be ordered to pay a $2,500 fine. Half of the fine will be waived if they each make a $1,250 donation to a nonprofit organization that promotes fishing with children. If they violate their jail sentence, they could face 30 additional days in jail. The two men would have received more than $28,000 in prizes for winning that tournament that they were found that they cheated in. They were also investigated over cheating allegations at a separate tournament in the spring of 2022, but a prosecutor concluded there was not enough evidence to charge them. And so
just losing the boat would be heartburn. Wouldn't be worth it.
Well, he won the boat.
Yeah.
So he didn't really pay for it, and it was part of something that they're assuming that he probably got on ill will or ill-gotten gains, as the saying goes.
Right.
So it's unfortunate that kind of crap goes on, and it's frustrating. I will say that much, because he goes through so many pains to make sure you're doing every single thing on the up and up. And, oh, I hooked a fish in the side of the face. That's snagged. I got to throw it back. Or I've got a no-cull situation, and I've got a big fish in my hand, but I can't keep it because I've already got my overs.
I wonder what's going to happen in future years, 3 years down the road, when they're able to fish again, if a tournament would accept their application to participate.
Most of them will not, because they have if you have a felony in any type of a fishing event or fishing anything,
wildlife,
they're prohibited from participating.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's a good thing. Covers this pretty well. So,
yep.
Tell you what, stay tuned. We got Rob Driesline from the Outdoor News coming up, and we are going to have a ton of stuff to talk about. Stay tuned. Welcome back, everybody. And, of course, we always like to have you check us out on Facebook. And where else, Donald?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
TheValleyOutdoors.com. And stay tuned, because what do we got coming up, Don? Special little fun thing coming up.
We got a fun event that we're working on here, and it's going to be coming real shortly. So stay tuned.
That's going to be fun. We're looking forward to it. Fish with us, and we'll have details coming up. And speaking of fun, Mr. Fun, I'm going to call him Mr. Fun. Mr. Knowing all of the stories inside and out, Mr. Rob Driesline from Outdoor News. Good to have you with us, Rob. And you've got what would you call it, a basket full or a truckload of things going on in the outdoors right now?
Yeah, I mean, we got one party rule at the state capitol. And, I mean, say what you want. You don't have to like one party rule, whatever the party may be. But when you have one party rule, a lot of things usually happen. You know, you may not like it, but it's different than when you've got split, you know, a legislature that's split, and every, you know, year after year in my column, I've been ranting about gridlock and how nothing got done. Well, I can't write that this year. There might be a couple things I don't like, but a lot happened at the state capitol, including a lot of outdoors things this year.
Pretty amazing. And let's go down the list. Red Lake is a highly contested piece of the legislature, or the concept that's going on right now, the thought processes that are going into it. We talked about it, I think, a couple weeks ago, Don.
Yeah.
And fill us in. What's going on with that?
Okay, so that's actually one thing that doesn't really involve the legislature, but that's fine. That broke this week, and it's a big story. The Red Lake Band declaring that they want to take 30 elk. They want to kill 30 elk. They want to permit hunters to take 30 elk from the band up there. You know, that's as many permits as the state issues per year. In fact, most years the state issues fewer than that.
Exactly.
So that was a pretty big story. And early this week, DNR Commissioner Sarah Strowman sent Al Pemberton, the Red Lake Nation band, I think he's the head of the band up there,
yep,
a letter saying, hey, you know, we kind of adjusted our permits down because we thought you folks were going to issue 10 permits, not 30. We're actually worried about what this could do to the elk population up there. And that's my beef. I mean, so many Minnesotans don't even know we have an elk population.
I know.
And I think it's incredible, and I wish we'd let that herd grow so that, you know, maybe someday could be 1,000 elk up there, and every year the band could take 100 and the state could take 100. Wouldn't that be great? You know, our moose population is declining. Wouldn't it be great if we could grow that elk population?
It'd be fantastic. And what a great concept to do it. You know, because once you're able to get the population to a certain point, then you can have a nice, sustainable harvest and everybody's going to be happy. And right now it's like there's slim pickings for everybody, and then you have this going on.
Right. And you got the Fond du Lac band who just got money from the legislature to move some of those elk. Oh, they want to start a herd in northeastern Minnesota. So, as I said at the end of my column this week, it's like everybody loves these elk. Everybody wants these elk. Why don't we all get our heads together and actually try to, you know, build the herd for the good of everybody?
I love the idea. But the problem is we don't, it doesn't ever seem to work that way. You can't get people to have a conversation that makes sense. It doesn't work. Hopefully it will.
Often that's the case, yeah.
Hopefully it will. All right, the other one that interested me, two-line fishing proposal.
Yeah, that's one of the policy items that emerged from the legislature here just this week. It was something that really kind of blindsided me. I mean, generally the DNR has been absolutely completely against two-line fishing for inland waters during the open water season. Of course, you can use two lines during ice fishing. But this will be specific to the Minnesota River and the Mississippi all the way up to St. Anthony Falls. You know, you can have two lines on your part of the river down there. This would take it kind of in that inland waters part of the Mississippi. And I think it started with the cat fishermen. You know, the cat fishermen on the Minnesota are saying, we see videos all over the country of guys using a half a dozen lines to catch catfish. We can only use one. I think there's a lot of bank fishing on the Minnesota River.
Yep.
And so the DNR said, you know what, there's not a lot of fishing pressure on the Minnesota. We're going to allow this all the way up to Granite Falls, and it's part of the policy bill, and I'm pretty confident the governor's going to sign off on it, Eric.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I think it's a start to, hopefully we can look at having some other two-line areas available in the state. I think it's a good thing. I really do.
Tell you that Brad Parsons from the DNR Fisheries, I asked him that, and he absolutely positively insisted this is not a foot in the door for two lines statewide, but I got to think it is, you know, and maybe it might take a few years, but I bet they'll expand that eventually.
I would think they would, without question. Crossbows.
Yeah.
Crossbow thing. You and I talked a little bit about that off air, and I know weren't necessarily a fan. You're a purist, obviously, in the archery sense. But the crossbow thing is got legs. There's a lot of people doing it besides just declared handicap or challenge on that side of the fence. So interesting concept.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to happen. And I'm guessing as soon as this fall, again, another one of policy item in the environment bill that I'm pretty sure Walls will sign off on by this weekend or early next week. Crossbows will be allowed during the regular archery season for anyone of any age and of any health
Right.
Right now it's just for old guys, right? And like you say, folks who can get a permit because of a health situation. But yeah, this has been controversial. I mean, I come from the archery industry back in the 90s where crossbows was a dirty word. And that's changed tremendously in the past 30 years. You pick up any archery magazine now, you're going to see crossbow content. So, it's going to be a boon for archery businesses here this summer and next year as everybody buys a crossbow, I think.
Well, and again, I think the big thing too is it's not just going out hunting with it. It's fun to go to the range and shoot them. It's, mm-hmm. I mean, pretty
actually,
cool.
Actually, a crossbow is pretty simple.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It
yeah,
is.
Without question.
For sure. Yeah. I think, and again, you're going to have, I think, coming up, I don't remember, have they got a record book if it's harvested with a crossbow? I don't remember what the...
It's in the senior's
book. So BNC would not recognize that, but
no.
there is a crossbow organization I think recognizes crossbow records.
That's cool.
Or I'm sorry, BNC probably would. Pope and Young will not.
Yep. Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. I would agree with that. Well, and the big story, I think, from my standpoint, Don, and a lot of us, is the gun control thing. Let's fill us in on what's going on with that.
Yeah, there were a number of items, some including, like higher restitution for possessing and a fully automatic firearm, which no one really objected to that. There's two things. One is this red flag law that I don't completely understand it, but basically it gives the sheriff's department the ability, if someone points a gun at one of their deputies or something or is acting out of control, it gives them the ability to confiscate that person's firearm, I think for up to 6 months. I need to read the specific language. These have been expanding around the country. The other thing is the so-called gun show loophole. Where, when you or I go and buy a firearm now, you've got to go through a background check. At a gun show, you typically don't have to do that. If Grandpa gives you one of his shotguns, you don't have to go through that. This, I think, would extend that background check requirement to gun shows. I haven't read all the language yet, Eric. I don't think it applies to, kind of personal exchanges like between family members. But we'll break that down in probably next week's Outdoor News.
Yeah, as I was understanding, it would not apply to the family member scenario. But
right.
It, in light of what we've seen that's going on across the country in this last week, it just raises some concerns from my side of it that what is termed or deemed a necessary or viable reason to go and mm-hmm. take somebody, go into somebody's house, is it observed behavior or is it you have to be there to see if they're okay? That's mm-hmm. the part that concerns me about that law. I'm not saying
right.
that.
Well, I think it's typically going to be triggered by someone other than the individual,
right?
Either a family member or someone in
law enforcement.
Law enforcement, yep.
And of course, Don, I painted off the air. We were talking about it, and I said, if somebody raises something and says they're acting crazy or whatever, the part I'm concerned about is maybe it's a disgruntled neighbor or a disgruntled relative or something that somebody has aware that you've got weapons and they feel that I'm going to get back at them. Suddenly it turns into a big box of worms.
I think that's what people are concerned about, and I think it'll take a while for this to work to work through that.
What's legitimate or what isn't? Yeah, we're all looking for ways to try to stop the next mass shooting.
Right.
And I think that's the impetus behind this legislation, but at the same time, people deserve their due process, and that's got to filter out properly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Agree. So those are the key things going on. Anything big that's standing out that we haven't covered? Because there's a lot to cover.
there was talk, of a ban, of a wolf hunting ban. Now, right now, there is no wolf hunting because of the feds and a court
right.
ruling. But once that filters out, we're hoping that the state then will have another wolf hunt like it did 10 years ago. There was language that would have banned wolf hunting by state statute. That did not pass. There was also language to create, to eliminate the state shotgun zone in the southern portion of the state so you could use rifles for deer hunting statewide. That did not pass. That had some momentum until a couple senators said, oh, we'd like to exclude our county. We'd like an amendment to exclude Dodge County and Olmsted County. And, you know, sensible people were like, we either got to do this statewide or keep status quo. We can't have a patchwork of counties that are excluded from, you know, from allowing rifles. That would be an
disastrous
nightmare.
You'd be hunting in one area and walk into a different county and you're hunting with a rifle and it's shotgun only, and then you're in deep doo-doo.
Yeah, I hunt on the Winona-Houston County line, so I conceivably could be, you know, be required to use a shotgun while a guy across the fence is using a rifle. That's just ridiculous.
Right. Totally agree. No, that's it's unfortunate because that would have been a nice. I think it would have been okay, but who knows, here nor there. Well, Rob, certainly we encourage everybody to check out The Outdoor News and sign up for it, doggone it. I signed up for it. It's pretty easy to do. You get your online news states. Yep. It's easy to peruse or follow through the different stories, and I like the format, Rob. You done a good job. So
yeah, you can get it via print or on the website. So
there you go. Fantastic. Rob Driesline, Outdoor News. Thanks again, as always, buddy. Appreciate
always
it.
Fun chat with you. See you.
Bet. We're going to be right back with more Valley Outdoors. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Always fun talking to Rob. He knows, he's got the literally
he's got
his hand
inside.
On the pulse of everything.
Of politics, at least in Minnesota. It'd be great to have someone in every state that could share that with
well,
us.
But he does handle every state because the Outdoor News handles.
Sure he does.
Yeah, and they handle, I mean, I think it's part of Pennsylvania. They do Michigan, Wisconsin, North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, Illinois, Ohio, I think, too.
Well, we'll have to get to brush up on some of the other states, too. Some of the things going on in their legislatures.
And I will say the challenge really, it comes down to what we talked about with the gun control side of it. If you're not from Minnesota, be wary of, as you said it earlier, Don.
Yeah, the red flag law is something that they're looking at on a national level. So
I know.
I mean, it could be coming to a neighborhood near you.
And pieces and parts of other elements that they want to eliminate within the gun side of it. So be aware and be up on what's happening. Follow
you know,
your legislation.
In our case, in the case of Minnesota with the background check, I mean, they do that now in Minnesota.
Yeah,
they
it's
don't do
done.
It in all other states. And about the only thing that they added it to was in the case of a gun show.
Yep.
And the fact that, you know, if you want to hand your firearms down to your kids or your nephew or whatever, or someone within your family, it's still not going to be an issue.
No, I don't see that being an issue. Speaking of not an issue, but it has been. I was just thinking about this. When do deer shed their antlers? A shed hunter's guide. They've been closing a lot of these areas that have been in the past shed hunting, like out in western,
out west. Yes.
Out west. They're closing them down and saying you can't do it anymore. And they would open up certain parks, etc. And you'd have.
Do you know why?
Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, because you're also spooking the animals in that period of time, and
right.
It's not good. Not good. As well as you're getting some bears that are coming up, waking up. And
it has to do with bothering other wildlife.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to get to the heat of the article. Why do they shed their antlers? Look at annual growth cycle of deer antlers, and one of the gentlemen that owns Conquest Deer Sense has been living with deer. Obviously, when they have the scent, a different scent, they harvest it from the deer. And what happens is a lack of testosterone during the summer, and that's triggered by the photo period, light, and also causes a buck antlers to begin growing. A white-tailed buck needs antlers for several reasons. The bigger, the better. Antlers help a buck establish the breeding rights and defending a territory. The big thing with that is that buck's testosterone levels rise in the summer, which constricts blood flow to the velvet-covered antlers until the sensation in the encourages bucks to rub the velvet off, which is kind of cool. And from that time on, the rut, the buck testosterone continues to rise, and the antlers are obviously securely fixed to the heads where they stay on as long as their does come into heat. Once the breeding is done, the bucks simply do not need the antlers anymore. With daylight and photo period diminishing, the body will decrease testosterone production and the shedding will begin.
So what time of year are we talking? You're talking December, January?
Hang on, I'm getting to it. And it's territory specific. In the Midwest, January to March, plan on older bucks carrying it longer here compared to the Northeast. However, due to more doe fawns reaching a critical 70-80 pound mark, that allows them to come into estrus a month after the first rut, keeping buck testosterone high and antlers on. Northeast, January to March, you can expect older bucks to shed before the smaller, younger deer. The rut tends to be quicker, and fewer fawns come into estrus in their first year. Bucks, therefore, typically are needing antlers much beyond the first rut, and therefore will tend to drop a little on the earlier side.
Okay.
So, again, in our area, January to March in the Midwest. So, there's your answer, Don. In a real brief, quick hitter, that's kind of the cool part about it. So, and it's a lot of fun, actually. It's kind of like going morel hunting, kind of.
What I think is kind of cool is they're now turning dogs to
look, they are. I was just going to say that.
For sheds.
Kind of cool. Well, the show went by like it just flew. Yes. Thanks for joining us. We are the Valley Outdoors for Ava, Don, and myself, Eric. We are out of here. Join us next week. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. See ya.